This is Radio Romania International. You are listening to our one-hour broadcast in English for listeners in Western Europe. We can also be heard on the internet at www.ri.ro, Channel 1. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter and other social media platforms. Our programs are also available on TuneIn, Radio Romania International 1, and via satellite Eutelsat 16A on 11,512 MHz, vertical polarization, azimuth 16 degrees east. We wish you good reception conditions.
Hello, this is Daniel Beals with the news, the headlines. Over April the 22nd and the 24th, the Romanian President Klaus Iohannis will be paying a formal visit to Korea upon the invitation of his Korean counterpart Yoon Suk-yeol. Agencies have reconfirmed Romania's sovereign rating and stable prospect, but there is room for improvement, says the country's finance minister Marcel Boloș. And three F-16 jet fighters Romania bought from Norway landed at the Air Base 71 in Câmpia Turzii, central Romania, on Friday. Over April the 22nd and the 24th, Romanian President Klaus Iohannis will be paying a formal visit to the Republic of Korea upon the invitation of his counterpart Yoon Suk-yeol. The Republic of Korea is the first country in the Asia-Pacific area with which Romania raised its relations at the level of strategic partnership in 2008. On the occasion of Iohannis's upcoming visit to Seoul, this partnership will be consolidated through a document which sets the cooperation directions for the next 10 years. Relevant documents are expected to be signed in the field of defense, nuclear energy, investment and foreign trade, cooperation in emergency situations and disaster management, cooperation in the field of culture, mass media, youth and sports. In the Republic of Korea, the Romanian president will be meeting representatives of the Romanian community and business environment and will be visiting an exhibition of Romanian traditional art. In the past year, agencies have reconfirmed Romania's sovereign rating and stable prospect, but there is room for improvement, such as the lower cost access to funding on international capital markets and for attracting foreign investment, the country's finance minister Marcel Boloș says in a Facebook post. During a working visit he paid to Washington, the Romanian official held talks with representatives of famous rating agencies such as Standard & Poor's and Moody's on Romania's economic particularities and the strategies aimed at ensuring macroeconomic stability. Boloș also attended the spring proceedings of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. According to Boloș, in order to raise economic competitiveness and create an appropriate environment for durable investment, Bucharest is focusing on fiscal consolidation, on raising investment in infrastructure and education, on boosting private investment and the promotion of an effective and transparent economic governance. Three F-16 jet fighters Romania bought from Norway landed at the Air Base 71 in Câmpia Turzii, central Romania, on Friday. This has been the second batch of these multi-role fighters Romania bought from Norway. The first batch arrived in November last year. According to the National Defense Ministry, the 32 F-16s Romania is going to receive by the end of next year are meant to consolidate the country's air defense, adjusted to the regional security challenges. They are going to play a major role in keeping an allied posture of defense and deterrence on the eastern flank, and will ensure transition towards the fifth generation, the F-35 planes Romania is going to get, as Minister Angel Tilver says. The Romanian Air Force now boasts 20 F-16 jet fighters. According to the Facebook page of the Romanian Olympic and Sports Committee, a Romanian athlete, Bianca Gelber, managed to clear the Olympic qualification threshold in the hammer throw event in Nairobi, Kenya. Gelber's third throw measured 74.06 meters, 6 centimeters over the threshold imposed by the World Athletics. She ended the contest on the second position after Jenny Kassenvoid of the USA, which threw 75 and 95 meters. For Bianca Gelber, that would be the fourth participation in the Olympic Games after Beijing in 2008, London in 2012, and Tokyo in 2020. Team Romania now boasts 79 qualified athletes in 10 sporting contests: athletics, swimming, boxing, kayak canoe, rowing, gymnastics, water polo, table tennis, wrestling. Weightlifters Mihaela Cambei and Loredana Toma have also qualified, but are still to be officially recognized. A 2.2-kilometer section of modernized motorway was opened in Galați, a Romanian port on the Danube, on Saturday. The new section will ease the access to Europe of transporters from Ukraine and the Republic of Moldova. And that was the news.
Coming up next, the week in review.
Hello and welcome to this review of the main events of the week. This week, the registration of aspirants to the positions of city councillors began in view of the polls on June the 9th, a date on which, for the first time for Romania, the European parliamentary elections will take place. 15 political formations have already submitted their lists of virtual MEPs, as well as 7 independent candidates. Political parties, alliances, citizens' organizations belonging to national minorities, and independent candidates are able, until April the 30th at midnight, to submit candidacies for local elections. According to the most recent Eurobarometer, published on Wednesday, Romanians' willingness to vote in the European Parliament elections has increased considerably compared to 5 years ago. Romania registers the second largest increase in this direction after the Czech Republic, reaching 74%, which represents 19 percentage points more than the previous election. More important for Romanians, however, is the vote in the national elections, which 63% say is of high importance. President Klaus Iohannis declared that he wants to solve as quickly as possible the problems that Romanian citizens still have at the airports of some European countries, despite the fact that Romania entered Schengen with air borders at the end of last month. The statement was made before the European summit in Brussels, where a report requested by the Council mentioned the need for the total integration of Romania and Bulgaria in the Schengen area as a measure that will boost the single market. Moreover, in Sofia, where he met on Thursday with the Romanian and Bulgarian ministers of the interior, European Commissioner for Internal Affairs Ylva Johansson said that she hoped that this year a precise date will be established for the full accession of the two countries, as proposed by the European Commission. On the agenda of the Brussels Council was the situation in Ukraine, a country that needs more military aid and is facing problems in the energy infrastructure following Russian bombings, but also the tense situation in the Middle East. The 27 EU member states called on Israel to immediately cease fire in the Gaza Strip and open access routes for humanitarian aid, as well as the release of all hostages by Hamas. At the same time, European leaders announced that the Union will take additional restrictive measures against Iran, especially regarding the delivery of drones and missiles. Leaders around the world, including Romania's, have condemned Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel a week ago in response to the killing of several Iranian officers in Damascus in an attack attributed to Israel. In response, on Thursday night, Israel attacked areas in western Iran that are home to an Iranian military base and several targets related to Iran's nuclear program. Explosions were also reported in Iraq and Syria, countries where pro-Iranian Shiite militias operate. Prime Minister Martil Çolak'u made this week a working visit to Qatar and the United Arab Emirates with the objective of consolidating the economic component with an emphasis on attracting investments to Romania. Accompanied by an important government delegation, the Romanian official declared that he wants Romania to become the gateway for these countries' investments in the European Union. He had meetings with representatives of relevant companies investing globally in technology, energy, agriculture, health, the IT industry, and communications. Discussions also focused on attracting investment in air and port infrastructure, in addition to the economic coordinate. The visit to the two Middle Eastern countries also had an important political dimension, with the Romanian Prime Minister having discussions at the highest level, both in Doha and in Abu Dhabi. Also, the delegation from Bucharest met with members of the Romanian communities. The International Monetary Fund revised downward the estimates regarding the growth of the Romanian economy this year from 3.8 to 2.8%, while the world economy will grow a little more than expected by 3.2%, as shown in the latest report of the International Institution published in Washington. According to the International Financial Institution, the escalation of the conflict in the Middle East risks leading to higher energy and food prices. Returning to Romania, the fund estimates that the country will register this year an average annual inflation of 6% and 4% in 2025. As for the current account deficit, the International Monetary Fund expects it to remain at 7.1% of the GDP this year, similar to the level predicted in October and that of last year. You've been listening to The Week in Review.
Focus on Romania.
Time now for Hit of the Day on Radio Romania International. Andra is the first Romanian pop artist to be given a live concert on London's Wembley Arena. You're invited to listen to The Motans featuring Andra and their hit Back into the Future.
Certuri și sărături la același mic dejun. De la început prietenii ți-au spus că sunt nebun. Tu râzi la toate glumele pe care ți le spun. E unul din motive pentru care sunt imun. Dragostea perfectă are și defectele ei. Fericirea mea se ascunde doar în ochii tăi. Dragă, doar în vocea ta mă regăsesc și știu. Cu tine mă simt atât de viu.
Aceeași nori, aceleași stele, nimic nu-i nou. Aceleași dimineți la gurile de metrou. Aceleași buze care fac din mine al tău.
Aceeași voce care-ți cântă un refren nou. să-mi stingă dorul. Sunt lacom și te dau pe toată în clipa de acum. Știi că viitorul ne va aștepta oricum.
Dacă aș da timpul
You are listening to Radio Romania International.
World of Culture.
Welcome, I'm Cristina Mateescu. For more than 30 years, Andrei Ursu has been trying to shed light on the death of his father, Gheorghe Ursu, who died in custody while being detained by the Securitate, the communist secret police, after he criticized Nicolae Ceaușescu's decision to halt the consolidation works of the buildings affected by the earthquake of 1977. Directed by Liviu Tofan and Șerban Georgescu, The Case of Engineer Ursu is a heart-wrenching documentary about the quest for justice and was recently launched in Romanian cinemas. Liviu Tofan, who co-directed the film, is a filmmaker and journalist who worked for 2 decades for the Romanian department of Radio Free Europe. He explained that the film tells, in fact, 2 stories.
Titlul acesta, Cazul Inginerului Ursu, sub el se găsesc două povești.
The title of the film, The Case of Engineer Ursu, follows the 2 Ursu engineers, father and son. Theirs are emblematic stories. That of Gheorghe Ursu for communist Romania in the 1980s and that of Andrei Ursu for Romania today, having fought in courts for 30 years to see that his father gets justice. Both stories begin with the earthquake of 1977, and one is about the failure of communist Romania, the other about the failure of the justice system in democratic Romania. Unfortunately, the second story, that of Andrei Ursu, is just as hopeless as that of Gheorghe Ursu. 35 years since the revolution, and we're still waiting for a fair sentence in the case of the dissident Gheorghe Ursu. Fair not only from a legal point of view, but also in a historical sense. Both Gheorghe and Andrei Ursu have extraordinary strength of character and are great role models in a society that is so confused as ours today. The film revolves around them. Gheorghe Ursu was killed by the communist police and the Securitate because he refused to accept any form of compromise during the inquiry, and that's something we know from the archives of the Securitate. He categorically refused to implicate his friends and pay the price. He is a role model of honor and integrity and never renounced his principles. And his son is a man who is sacrificing his life for an ideal. Andrei Ursu twice put his life in danger, going on a hunger strike for what he believed in, and which is more important to him than his life. That's the strength of the film, the strength of these 2 role models. The documentary was screened last summer, a few days before the High Court of Cassation and Justice announced its final sentence. Despite a carefully constructed case, the defendants were acquitted, and the film remains the only form of justice and recognition that dissident Gheorghe Ursu will ever enjoy. Liviu Tofan, the co-director of the film.
O bună parte din film reprezintă reluarea luptei lui Andrei.
A large section of the film is dedicated to Andrei Ursu's struggle with the justice system. The film follows chronologically the difficulties and obstacles he encountered since 1990 in various forms, delays, rejections, prescription, and lots more. After 1990, one of the two men accused of Gheorghe Ursu's death, Vasile Hodiș, was no longer a Securitate officer, but he did work with the Romanian intelligence service. So he was still in the system, that same system that constantly fought Andrei Ursu. In 2000, Andrei Ursu went on hunger strike for the first time. The authorities realized he was willing to go all the way and handed the case over to the prosecutor Dan Voina, who continued the investigation. Andrei Ursu went on hunger strike for the second time in October 2014, when the case had again reached a deadlock. The authorities again gave in, and the fact that elections were being held that year may have had something to do with it. Everything he had been denied was suddenly accepted. That's when the two former Securitate officers, Marin Pârvulescu and Vasile Hodiș, were indicted for the first time. Until 2014, the system simply refused to investigate two officers of the former Securitate. Produced by Collective Film together with the Gheorghe Ursu Foundation, Victoria Film, Follow Art Association and the Romanian Television, the documentary was already screened in 2023 as part of special events at various cinemas across Bucharest and at film festivals around the country.
Radio Romania International Encyclopedia. Welcome, I'm Elena Enache. A city of contrasts for most of its history, Bucharest has been for a long time a mixture of rural and urban living. In fact, only the central area had become almost completely urban after the First World War, being surrounded by a network of peripheral neighborhoods formed on the lands of former villages. That is why the typical country life was partially maintained in these neighborhoods for a long time, until the beginning of the 1960s, when the communist regime began the systematization of the city exactly in those areas. Vernacular dwellings and commercial buildings with the shop on the ground floor and the apartments on the first floor were demolished to make room for blocks of flats. Thus, the outskirts were filled with the so-called sleeping neighborhoods. A documentary recently discovered in the archive of the Bucharest City Museum, in fact a raw, unedited recording, shows us the life of the Bucharest dwellers along the roads that led from Verguli Barrier to the Victory Square, from the eastern end of the capital to the beginning of the most important and modern boulevard in Bucharest, the Victory Boulevard. The film shows the daily life of the people who lived in the vicinity of the boulevards that today are called Mihai Bravu, Stephen the Great, and Iancu de Hunedoara. In the 1960s, their names were different and the daily lives unfolded almost unchanged for decades. What these slums looked like in the 19th century and what life was like for the people of Bucharest who lived in the administrative unit called the Yellow District, we learn from historian Adrian Majuru, the director of the Bucharest City Museum.
Acest sector de galben avea la 1838 11555 de locuitori. Deci nu foarte popular.
In 1838, this yellow district had 11,555 inhabitants, so it was not very populated. And also 2,449 houses. There were also pets. We can call them pets in keeping with the parameters of that era, namely 1,063 horses, 444 oxen, 245 cows, 73 buffaloes, 193 rams, and 1,542 dogs. Poultry is not mentioned in the documents of the time. Cats are not mentioned either. What we notice are draft animals. So these people needed to earn their bread by taking care of these draft animals, horses, oxen, buffaloes. So it's a rural world that hardly changes. And it doesn't change at all in the Mihai Bravo Road area. At some point, however, there appears a lower middle class of craftsmen who make a living from what they do. If you have your workshop next to Stephen the Great Road, where you sell what you practice, whether you are a shoemaker or a photographer, you are a lucky guy. You could have your business on the side streets too, but people wouldn't visit them often. They were quite unsanitary and slightly unsafe for that period. The atmosphere and the world change from the moment we move to another slum. There are other types of properties. Obviously, there are also industrial areas, a bread factory, for example, in the north, and another one in the south. The cosmopolitan world began in Victory Square, and behind it and around it, the rural world remained. The situation started changing in 1961. Adrian Majuru.
Era o vorbă în vremea aceea care spunea, mai că dacă s-ar găsi și gaz, ar fi ca în vremea războiului.
There was a saying at that time, namely, Mother, if we found gas, it would be like wartime. Bread was difficult to find and was purchased on coupons. Garments also cost a coupon depending on the professional grade and a healthy background. This situation were further diluted in the 1960s when Gheorghe Udej was still the head of the state and of the Communist Party, and the dependence on the Soviet state was still quite strong. But for ordinary people, the world they used to know had not changed much. There were difficulties, but they lived in the same house, and some had even opened small craft workshops without license, because the regime still allowed them to do so. Things started to change as of 1961, and the world was confused. Adults were very sad. It's a world they didn't know how to relate to. They were leaving homes that were familiar to them and were moved to Mihai Bravo or Iancu de Hunedoara boulevards. Of course, with the demolitions and new constructions, the human landscape also changed. People from the country came to work to the city. Villagers became city dwellers overnight and occupied the new blocks of flats. Adrian Majuru.
Realitatea anilor 60 se reflectă și impactează în societatea în care noi trăim astăzi.
The reality of the 1960s impacts the society in which we live today because it is the beginning of some systematization and industrialization of the periphery. People came from the countryside and small towns to bigger towns. That was the extent of their contact with the urban world. They could not and did not need more. It was enough for them. However, when the critical mass of people with intellectual interests and liberal professions shrank, a manifestation of the periphery also appeared in the central areas. Today, the area between the historical landmarks of the Vergul and Mogoșoaia barriers looks roughly the same as it did in the period after the transformations produced by the communist regime. You have been listening to the RRI Encyclopedia.
You are listening to Radio Romania International.
Hello, dear friends, and welcome to another program devoted to jazz music and its musicians. Today's edition has been devoted to one of Romania's most talented jazz musicians, saxophonist, clarinetist, songwriter Alex Simu, who on April the 20th celebrated his 43rd anniversary. Here he is now on the microphone with one of his compositions inspired from traditional Romanian music. Simu was born in Bucharest on the 20th of April 1981 on Palm Sunday, a week before the Orthodox Easter, in a family of musicians. Alex Simu studied saxophone for 10 years, both in Romania and the Netherlands. Here he is now at the microphone with his composition entitled Tales from Caliacra. Thank you. In recent years, Alex Simu has been very active in the field of movie soundtracks and was awarded numerous prizes for his compositions, such as the Golden Calf from the Dutch Film Academy for the soundtrack of the movie Beyond Sleep in 2016 or Disappearance in 2017. They Call Me Babu, which got him the Bummer Award in 2019. Let's now take a fragment from a festival entitled The Labyrinth Festival Catalunya Cardedeu, held in April 2019, where Alex Simu performed together with Greek clarinetist Manos Akalintopoulos. Today's edition of our jazz music program has been devoted to Alex Simu, one of Romania's most talented jazz musicians. We go out today with a song entitled The Armenian Street from the artist's third album entitled Echoes of Bucharest.
Thank you.
Living Romania. This is Bucharest Radio Romania International. DX Mailbag.
Welcome to a new edition in our DX Mailbag series. I'm Eugen Nasta. Once again, we go on a journey around the world, greeting listeners and friends, allowing you to compare how other listeners across the continents receive our programs. The first message we're taking out of the box this week is the one sent in by Andrei Novgorodsky, based in Kharkiv, Ukraine. Andrei tuned into our radio station on March the 18th, 2024, from 21:30 to 21:57 on 7375 kilohertz. His SINPO rating for the signal of our broadcast was 44434. The receiver is a web SDR based in Lohja, Finland. Karl-Heinz Bradmüller, living in Bad Eilsen, Germany, tuned into our radio broadcast on March the 31st, 2024, from 1720 to 1756 hours UTC on 13750 kHz in the DRM system. The receiving equipment is made of a Gospel GR228BP mode C SDC 16QAM with an inbuilt WIP telescopic antenna. Among our German listeners' program details, at 1723 Project Take or Die open call application, the fifth exhibition rebalancing, cultural event at 1728, Romanian Without Tears, language lesson. Today we are going to visit a farm. Astăzi vom vizita o fermă. The farm produces grain. Vlad Palcu reports about textbook to help Ukrainian immigrants to learn Romanian language a better way. Then there was the termination announcement, next English transmission on 11790 kHz and 2030. Our good old friend Krista Brunstrom, living in Halmstad, Sweden, tuned in to our broadcast in English on April the 1st, 2024, from 1100 to 1130 hours UTC on 17630 and 17670 kHz respectively. His receiver is a Grundig Satellite 300. Mr. Richard Lemke, based in St. Albert, Alberta in Canada, tuned into our radio broadcast on March the 29th, 2024, on 7325 kHz from 0100 to 0155 hours UTC.
You are listening to Radio Romania International.
The DX Mailbag continues on Radio Romania International. I am Eugen Nasta. Mr. Bill Harms, based in Walworth, New York, the United States of America, sent a reception report from which we took the liberty to quote, "The reception equipment, the receiver is an SDR-IQ, the antenna, 15-meter long wire, place of reception, Walworth, New York, the United States. Reception details, date, March the 5th, 2024, time 06:35, time end 06:56, the frequency 11930 kHz, the language English. Program details, 06:35, the 1977 earthquake, 06:36, women's handball, at 06:37, Romania-Poland bilateral solidarity, at 06:40, Romania-Moldova important relationship, at 06:44, Identification by Woman, The History Show, The Balkan Pact. At 06:51, Focus on Romania, Think Greener, Pollution of the Danube, Cleaning Banks of the River. At 06:55, End of Broadcast, How to Tune in Next Time. At 06:56, Interval Signal and Signal Off. The reception quality, signal strength, excellent. Interference, medium. Noise, weak. Propagation disturbance weak, overall rating satisfactory. Chris Malbeuf, living in British Columbia, Canada, tuned into our broadcast in English on April the 2nd, 2024, from 0:00 to 0:55 hours UTC on 11:620 AM. The receiving equipment is in Westminster, Maryland, SDR, with 250 feet beam antenna aimed to Europe. And now, for all our English-speaking listeners from around the world, here is the summer frequency schedule. For our listeners in Western Europe, our programs can be received as follows. From 0530 to 0600 hours UTC on 11960 kHz. From 1100 to 1200 hours UTC at 17630 kHz. At 1700 to 1800 hours UTC on 13750 kHz in DRM system. From 2030 to 2100 hours UTC, our programs can be received on 11975 kHz. From 2200 to 2300 hours UTC on 11800 kHz. Our listeners in Africa can receive our programs on 17670 kHz from 1100 to 1200 hours UTC. Our listeners in North America on the East Coast can receive our programs on 13650 kHz from 1230 to 2100 hours UTC and on 11620 kHz from 0100 to 0100 hours UTC. Our listeners in North America on the West Coast receive our programs on 9740 kHz from 0300 to 0400 hours UTC. Our listeners in Japan can receive our programs on 9790 kHz from 2200 to 2300 hours UTC. Our listeners in Australia and India can receive our programs on 21550 kHz from 0530 to 0600 hours UTC. Our listeners in India can receive our programs on 15330 kHz in DRM system from 0300 to 0400 hours UTC. Mr. Craig Christ of Manassas, Virginia, the United States of America, tuned into our radio broadcast in English on April the 2nd, 2024, from 0100 to 056 hours UTC on 11620 kHz and with a SIMPA of 45444. The receiving equipment is made of a WinRadio G33 DDC SDR Excalibur Pro receiver with a 134-foot homemade multiband antenna running northwest to southeast. Mr. Shin Makino, living in Saitama, Japan, tuned into our broadcast in English on April the 2nd, 2024, from 2200 to 2230 hours UTC on 9790 kHz. His SINPO rating is 44343. The receiver is an XH Data D808. Mr. Mikio Kohara, based in Setsu City, Osaka, also in Japan, tuned into our broadcast in English on April the 1st, 2024, from 2200 to 2230 hours UTC on 9790 kHz and with a SIMPA of 45444353. His receiver is an ICOM ICR75 with a 1.8-meter rod-type antenna. We now quote from a reception report sent in by Ding Lu, living in Jiangyin, Jiangsu, in China. We quote, my reception report is as follows. Receiving time, April the 2nd, 2024, from 1700 to 1800 hours UTC. Receiving frequency is 13750 kHz in DRM system. The receiving equipment is a Kiwi SDR from Germany, and a SIMPO is 5-all. Mr. Gordon Lyle, based in southern Illinois, tuned into our radio broadcast on April the 2nd, 2024, from 0300 to 0400 hours UTC on 9740 MHz in the 31-meter band. Gordon's SIMPO rating for the signal of our broadcast was 5-all. The receiver used was an ICOM ICR8600 receiver. The antenna was an Alpha Delta DX Ultra multiband dipole set up as an inverted V. That's all we had time for in this week's DX mailbag. Those of you who sent in their reception reports will receive a QSL card in the shortest time possible. Tune in again next week. Until then, from me, Eugen Nasta, it's goodbye and all the best 73s.
Focus on Romania. Coming up next on Radio Romania International. Simply Folk.
Welcome to Simply Folk. I'm Eugen Nasta. You're invited to listen to accordion virtuoso Marcel Budala performing a typical dance tune from southeastern Romania, traditionally known as jampara, the plural form jamparale, a Romanian word of Turkish origin.
And with that, our broadcast in English for listeners in Western Europe has come to an end. You can listen to our next program at 20:30 hours UTC on 11975 kHz, as well as on the internet at www.rri.ro, Channel 1. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write an email at engl@rri.ro. Goodbye.